empty.
You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Akitawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
Although, Kev, I'm be honest, the Michigan State game is on here. I think it might just be The Computer Guy today. I'll watch the game. You can you can take the calls.
Or do you want to try your hand at some commentary?
Well, maybe I could.
That could be fairly entertaining.
Though so, I don't know that how much computer-related that necessarily is.
Well, you know, it's commentary.
But we will be here, so give us a call, 395-1450, The Computer Guys here on WHDC. Best way to get a hold of us, of course, is by phone.
Mm-hmm. What's that number again?
395-1450.
Second best way to get a hold of us is by email, computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you've got an issue or just want to say hi, it's computerguys@whtc.com.
Well, Kev, the special end-of-the-year edition.
That's
end of
right.
2008. It was quite a year for computers.
Last one of the year.
Yeah, last day of the year. With 2008 goes a lot of viruses and spyware and different problems like that. Vista became a little bit more popular.
A little bit. Still a lot of resistance. But,
a lot of resistance. And you know, the funny thing is, a lot of times when I hear people say how much they don't like it,
they don't have it.
They don't have it, or they've used it once.
Yep.
But that leads me into this little story here. The first look at Windows 7 Beta 1 is out. The website ZDNet, which I'm sure, Kev, you've been to many times.
Sure. Actually, I have it open right now.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
So you probably have the same article I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems that Microsoft couldn't keep the lid on Windows 7 Beta 1 until the new year. By now, several news outlets have had their hands on the Beta 1 code and posted screenshots and information about the most recent build. ZDNet's Hardware 2.0 column says the beta is of excellent quality. This is the kind of code that you could roll out and live with. Even the pre-betas were solid, but finally, this beta feels like it's done. This beta exceeds the quality of any other Microsoft OS that I've handled. So, obviously, that was some pretty good reviews from this particular one. They said it actually feels a lot more responsive, a lot quicker. They're still running benchmark tests on it and that type of thing. But, that's some good promising news for Microsoft. Although, the funny thing is, all of the screenshots and everything still look pretty much like Vista.
The graphics and everything still are
more or less the same.
The Arrow interface, which they kind of developed for Vista, it seems to be carrying on over to Windows 7. But hey, you know, hearing positive response like that from testers saying this actually looks really good, you know, for a beta, that is promising. And really, you know, Microsoft, they've got to deliver on this one.
But if they don't, you know, people will still.
They will, but, you know, as far as how they're perceived, you know, a lot hinges on how Windows 7 is embraced and all the other software companies and developers need to kind of get on board with that because a lot of them have sort of said, you know what, we're just going to skip Vista altogether and we're going to wait for Windows 7. So hopefully it delivers and we get the best product possible.
Although the one thing that has definitely been confusing a lot of people, especially now around the holidays when people are purchasing a lot of computers, and it's something, Kev, that I don't think we've talked a lot about, is Windows Vista now comes in. Other than the different versions of home or premium or business, that type of thing, you've got a 32-bit version and a 64-bit, which most of the time people don't even know the difference.
Yeah, half the time somebody's got 64 and they didn't even know it because it just, when they went to the store and they bought a computer, it had 64-bit on. So 64-bit pretty much kind of worked its way into the mainstream with Vista. It was out there for XP, but not many people did it. It was always by choice. Somebody who wanted the, you know, highest performance possible. And it does give you a little bit of a speed edge. There's some limitations regarding what kind of hardware you use it with. All the hardware that you use it with, the manufacturer of that hardware has to make 64-bit drivers for it. So it's not that you can just run to the store, grab something, and throw it in your computer. There's a good chance it might not work on a 64-bit operating system.
Well, and the biggest thing is, like you said, the hardware. A lot of times people have, they've gotten the new computer, they went out to the store, they bought it, And all of a sudden, hey, how come my printer doesn't stall? It has Vista drivers, but it doesn't have drivers.
Vista 64-bit drivers. 64-bit,
yep.
So that is something to look for, making sure that when you're buying that new computer that you're asking, 32-bit, 64-bit, if you're buying all new hardware, new printers, and all your new peripherals with the computer, you know, then you could go the 64-bit route. But if you're hoping to use it with your existing stuff, you really want to make sure that there is support for it. Otherwise, you're going to be having to buy some new hardware anyways.
Yep. And it's actually, Kev, I've been running Windows Vista 64-bit now for, I don't know, almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great. There were a couple of programs that I had, older programs, that did not work with it.
Yep.
But for the most part, it works great with it. It's faster. It allows you to run more RAM in a computer. That's one of the things that confused people a little bit, too. They went out, they bought a new computer, and it said it came with 4 gigs of RAM. But they get it home, and they can only see that it has 3 or 3.5 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's limited by a couple of things. Number one, 32-bit Vista, it can't handle more than, depending on your computer, between 2.5 and 3.5 gigs of RAM most of the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, with all the newest hardware, even in a 32-bit, you can get 4 gigs of RAM to be recognized.
Sometimes.
Got it in my computer right now.
Right? Yep.
So it can be done.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of after Service Pack 1 and making sure that all the rest of your hardware is going to support that.
But certainly it's something to consider. So if you're out, you're wondering the difference of 32 and 64, something to think about. But we've got a phone call here. Let's go ahead and take that. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Thank you. I am looking for a new computer. I was told mine was no good anymore. The more I look, the more confused I'm getting. And I was wondering, for a home computer, you know, working on the internet and that typical thing, how many megabytes and stuff should I really need?
Well, there are a few things. Are you just going to use it for home type of use, just surfing the internet and checking email?
Yes, and printing.
And printing.
Letter writing.
Okay. Well, there are a few things to think about with a new computer. A lot of times when people think of storage, they think of their hard drive, and that's for storing photos or music or anything that you want to save on the computer. And any new computer today will have more than enough storage than what just about anybody would need.
Okay.
A lot of the hard drives now and desktops are 160 gigabytes, 250 gigabytes. All the way up to 1 terabyte, and that's just a huge amount of storage for most people. So hard drive size, unless you're going to be storing a lot of videos, just about anything new will work well for just about anybody.
So it's going to come with
80 gigabytes. That's a lot of storage.
Compared to a lot of the new computers, it's not, but compared to what most people would use it for, it's plenty.
Yeah, most computers we see come in have, you know, maybe half that full. Now, if you're someone who wants to put your entire music collection on there, that's going to take up some space. And then you'd want to look for something at least maybe 250 gigs or more.
Okay. The other question is printer. I've got a Hewlett-Packard printer. And should that work with a new computer?
About how old is that printer, do you know?
7-8 years.
Maybe.
825C.
Kev, you want to run that real quick?
What was it, an 8?
825C.
What we're going to do here is just if you go to Hewlett-Packard's website, which is just HP.com.
Well, the problem is right now my computer's broke, so I can't go.
Okay. Sure. You know, I'm guessing it's going to be supported, and it will probably be built right into the computer. So if you have Vista on the new machine, you plug it in, and it's going to take right off.
So,
I think so, because they include a lot of drivers. There isn't a specific one on HP's website, but because of, I'm looking at the...
But then I should definitely buy a Hewlett-Packard computer.
Nope, doesn't matter.
Okay.
That doesn't matter. Basically, you can buy any computer you want that's running Microsoft Windows, and you plug that thing in, and it'll take right off.
Okay.
And probably even a Mac, if you were to buy a Mac, would do the same thing, because, you know, the printer's old enough. And it's a mainstream enough printer that you'll be able to have support for.
Okay. One last question, if
sure.
I may. One store I went to, you know, they give you a price, and then they also say, well, you need to buy software.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, isn't some of that in there? You know,
like, yeah, some of it is. Most of the time, it's not going to include a full version of an antivirus software. It'll include a trial version. So if you want antivirus protection, you have to add that. And then Microsoft Office is another major one where that includes Microsoft Word and Excel. So if you've been using those programs in the past and you want to continue to use those, you are going to have to get that included.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can get it built onto the system, but if you're going to a box store, typically you have to add that because it doesn't allow you to configure the new system that you're buying.
Okay. I think I'm a little less confused.
Okay. Okay, well, if you have more questions regarding a new system purchase, feel free to give our office a call and we can talk to you further.
All right. Do you sell computers?
We do. We actually sell Dell systems. So we just kind of help people through the whole process and make sure they're getting exactly what they need.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
A lot of buying a computer is, on one hand, it could be a great experience. On the other hand, if you're, depends on who you talk to or what might happen, it could definitely be confusing just as well.
Yep. So we try and distill all of the details and kind of say, okay, here are the key things and say, how are you going to use it? How do you see yourself using it in the next, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, so you get the right machine?
One of the great questions there was they had mentioned if you buy a new computer that you'll need software, and that's true if you want to be able to do word processing or Excel spreadsheets, that type of thing, because typically it does not include Office as well. Or it'll include a little trial, just a little trial to see if you actually want that program. So just a couple things to think about here. As far as if that printer would work, I checked the HP site too, Kevin. It doesn't have any information.
No, but, you know, based on it's a couple years old.
It says that it, according to the HP site, they will not support that one. So maybe we'd have to purchase a new one as well.
Maybe, yeah. But a lot of those DeskJet, the older DeskJet series, you plug them in and they just kind of take right off because the drivers are built into Vista.
Got a couple of emails here. This one is a question. It says, I have an iMac computer and was wondering if there's a good place in the area to take it for some repair work. Well, at Macintala Technologies, we do work on a lot of Apple problems. It depends on what type of a problem you're having. A lot of times, some of those hardware problems are not cost effective for us to do just because depending on which version of the iMac you have, it could be a lot of work to get in there. But yeah, absolutely. We'd be happy to help any type of iMac problems that you might have. Apple's a great computer, but like anything mechanical, they'll eventually break.
Yep, that's true. I mean, somebody the other day who got an email from them and they were trying to rebuild their contact list because their hard drive had failed. So all makes, all models, it happens to everybody.
It's true.
So you are not safe from that, since it is a mechanical device. Okay, I just checked an independent site here on Microsoft about Vista compatibility, and the 825C is not compatible. Confirmed not compatible by Microsoft, so you wouldn't want to do that. Now, you could, this is a little bit of a trick, but you can install it using a different driver, and it will probably work, but it's not out-of-the-box compatible. So
in other words, maybe time for a new printer.
Maybe.
And that's one of the frustrations, you know. The printer probably works well. And unfortunately, a lot of times on those older printers, they hold a lot more ink than the new ones do.
Oh, yeah, like four times as much.
Yeah. And it costs the same amount to refill it or buy new ones usually. So that's definitely
extra
something that...
10 milliliters, 20 milliliters of ink doesn't cost you any more. But, you know, it lasts a lot longer.
Speaking of Apple's having problems, Kev, there was an update recently to OS 10.5.6 that has apparently broken a lot of MacBook Pros using some users with a dead backlit black screen after the Apple logo appears. There is a fix, and I'm sure Apple's working on a fix as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a MacBook Pro and you did some updates, and they said the odd thing about it is it won't do that until the second time you reboot the computer.
That is odd.
One of the crazy things about, well, I guess it isn't crazy. It's the way a lot of computers are now, but computers aren't restarted quite as much as they used to be. A lot of times you close the lid and it puts the computer into a sleep or a standby, not actually rebooting it. So you might not notice that problem right away because you might not restart your computer, especially twice if you do. But there's a fix as long as you have an external display, keyboard, and mouse. So, just something to note there if you've had some problems recently with your Apple MacBook Pro.
Interesting. So, Hey, this is some news from earlier in the month. PC sales expected to drop next year with the economy in crisis. Chances are you aren't in the market for a new computer unless you're the one that unless you have one that breaks down. Research firm Trax Numbers says that will mean a drop in PC sales next year. They say sales of personal computers expected to fall by nearly 3% next year. That'd be the first time since 2001 that computer sales haven't grown. And this is just based on, you know, the outlook. That is subject to change, and the manufacturers are doing everything possible to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, like selling their computers at unbelievably low prices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, man, I tell you, there are some, I haven't checked necessarily after Christmas. Obviously, there's always certain deals that are going. They're trying to clear out some old inventory. But, man, the prices that we saw around Christmas time for computers, laptops, desktops,
they were good.
Okay, we've got another phone call coming in here. Let's go ahead and take this. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Yeah, I'm sure you've covered this before, but how do you keep flat screens on your monitors clean? What's the recommended procedure for keeping those, you know, as clean as possible?
Well, I like to have a little stick nearby my monitor so I can whack anybody's hands that get near it.
Yep, just keep about a foot radius.
Kev's about as paranoid as I am.
Yep.
You shouldn't touch it.
Yeah, shouldn't touch it. It's that's the one thing. People have a habit of poking
sticking
at the screen.
Sticking their finger in there.
And it's always bothered me. Probably not as much as it does for Kev. But if the stick doesn't work, the other thing is that there are little, we actually keep them in stock, and they're not that expensive. Little microfiber cloths that are made. They're real soft. They won't scratch your screen. And usually just a little bit of polishing up with one of those will do the trick.
Yep, and if you got a stubborn smudge from a dirty finger, if you need to add a little bit of just plain water to the cloth before...
Not much.
Just a slightly damp, because you don't want water on the screen, a lot of water. You just want a little dampness to help take that off, and then use a dry part of the cloth to buff it off, and it comes right clean, takes off dust, fingerprints, everything. And those things are washable and reusable. But remember, when you wash them, don't use fabric softener. Otherwise, the next time you do, and it says that on the package, you'll start getting streaks on your screen. So
microfiber cloths, if you don't want to pay for one of those, just a nice, soft, non-abrasive cloth.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Old handkerchiefs. Oh, yeah, that was what I did before the microfiber cloth. Yep.
So.
Okay. Have a good New Year.
Hey, thanks. You too.
Bye.
I like the stick approach, too.
The stick works well.
We've got another phone call here, Kev. Let's go ahead and take this. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hello. The benefits of an external drive, what are they? You know, I'm in the market today to go pick one up, and I'm just listening to you fellas here and wondering, is that a good way to go? You know, to put the important files or to back up, or and then how big should I get? My regular hard drive is 160 gig.
Well,
I heard you say that that's plenty big, but I'm getting full.
Really? Well, hey, then you store a lot of stuff. So, they are a great way to back up your information.
But there's no difference in price. I mean, some, you know, a terabyte can be anywhere from $89 to $159.
Yep.
What's the difference?
Some of that's dependent upon the drive inside, as far as the quality of the drive and the speed that you're going to get. And the different manufacturers price it differently. But a lot of that's dependent upon the software that it ships with. The lower-end ones won't come with any special software. It'll basically just be a bare drive that you can copy information to. And if you're comfortable doing that, that's just fine. But some people like the software to automate the backup process.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll get on the more expensive ones is, you know, you configure it the first time, and then every time you plug it in or a file changes, it automatically copies it over to that external drive. So you're always up to date. There's no manual copying involved.
Now, I'm going to put you out on the limb here. What would you recommend? What brand name? Because there's so many out there. You know, in the old days, Seagate was the only name that was out there. But now there's a lot of different ones, you know.
Yeah, you know, we've been fairly happy with the Western Digital drives. The one thing that has concerned us a little bit as of late is there's more failures than there should be that we've seen in those. And that's not exclusive to them. iOmega seems to make some pretty decent drives as well. There are, Seagate makes them too. They have the Free Agent series, and inside they are Seagate drives. You do have a wide, you know, go with something that's got a decent warranty on it. And also remember that this is a backup drive, so you want to have a copy on your primary drive and a copy on this one, because it will fail just like any other drive.
So they all fail, don't they?
Oh, they all do. Yep. And honestly, I've seen probably higher rates of failure in externals than I have in internals. And some of that has to do with the electronics that control them. Sometimes those fail and then make that drive that's inside basically unusable.
So let me ask you this then, one more, and then I won't take up all your time. Would it be better to get several small, like 160 gigabyte drives and separate it out and save it that way, or just get one giant terabyte and put it all on there?
Well, you know, you could get two and sort of do them in a rotation.
Yeah.
You know, and that way you've got, you know, more than one copy. Otherwise, what you might want to think about doing is upgrading that drive in your computer. If you said you've got 160 and you're about full,
yeah,
upgrading to a larger drive in there and then matching that size with an external. So basically, if you go to a 500 or to a terabyte in your computer, then you do the same with the external. And so that way, whatever you put on your primary drive, you can make a copy of on your secondary. So if either one fails, it doesn't really matter because you've got another copy of your data. The other thing to think about is offsite storage. There are services for, you know, as little as $50 a year where you can store unlimited information, and that's all transferred over the internet to a secure location. And that way, you don't have to pay for any hardware, and they do all the maintenance of that to make sure that you don't lose your data.
How much per year?
Well, Carbonite is one that we've recommended, and they have an unlimited plan that if you pay for a year at a time as a non-commercial user, it's $50 a year for unlimited storage.
Carbonite.com?
Carbonite.com. Another one to check out is Mosey. They have a free account, and then they also have
some paid plans, about the same price.
Yeah, paid plans. It's about the same price per year.
Huh.
So just another option to throw out there.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Bye.
And just a little recommendation, too. My wife and I, Kev, we use Carbonite at home.
Yep. Got and I use an external drive, and works fine for me. So.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Good morning. Good afternoon, rather. You've worked on my computer a number of times. I have a Dell computer, but right now I keep getting this pop-up about updates. They always send me updates.
Okay.
And it's something Java, J-A-V-A. What is that anyway?
Sure. Well, the first thing to know is it's fine to go ahead and update that. That's not a problem. That's a completely legitimate program. Java is a program that just helps you. For instance, I think if you go to WHTC.com, it loads Java on your computer, and it allows you to see all the information that's on there.
Okay.
It's sort of like there's another program out there called Adobe Flash Player. Very, very similar to that, just allows you to go to different websites and see the information that they have on there. So
yeah,
ahead and install that update.
Use that to write content for web pages. So when you go to a web page, you have to have that Java installed on your computer to see it correctly. And they come out with new versions that support new features and security updates and everything. So it's not a bad idea to keep it up to date.
I'll do whatever I have to do with it. And then next year when I bring my computer in to be cleaned up, you can clean up if I downloaded something I shouldn't.
Yep. One thing to watch for when you're updating Java is they try and be sneaky, and somewhere in the process, there's a little checkbox that says install this toolbar. And
it is
the MSN toolbar. You might want to uncheck that. That's not something you really need, and it'll end up slowing your computer down just a little bit. So if you catch it, just uncheck it. If you don't, it's not a huge deal. It's not malicious. It's just unnecessary.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Have a happy new year.
You too.
Bye now.
Just a little score update, 30-27, Michigan State. Go Spartans.
Who are they playing anyway? We didn't talk about that.
Let's go ahead and take this next phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer, guys.
Good afternoon. Happy new year.
Thanks, you too.
I guess I have a couple of questions. We just purchased a new Dell computer, kind of a Christmas present gift for the kids thing. And it has Windows Vista, which our old one was quite old, had old like Windows 95. Because of where we live, we have only like slow dial-up service for our internet.
Sure.
Windows Vista has kind of like an automated updates thing, which I guess what I'm asking is some days it seems like our dial-up service is much slower than others.
Sure.
Do those automated updates have anything to do with that or not?
Well, they're not supposed to, because they're supposed to watch and see how you're using the internet, and if you're asking for pages, it's supposed to kind of turn itself off so it doesn't tie up your line.
Okay.
You know, you can experiment with it in the control panel. There's a Windows update section. where you can set it from automatically to manual.
Okay.
Basically,
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, can you toggle back and forth between, like, shutting it off so that I won't receive those updates? Or?
Yeah, well, there's several different levels. There's a never check. There's a check for updates, but then let me choose whether to download them. Then there's a download, but let me choose when to install them. And then there's an install, download and install automatically, which is the default. So by default, it's going to try and get all the updates, and it's going to try and install them all automatically.
Okay.
In theory, it shouldn't interfere with what you're doing. But if you want to experiment with it, you can kind of turn that off, and you can turn it back on when you're done. But do make sure that you're getting your updates, because they do help protect you against new security threats that come out. And Microsoft is really good about getting on top of that, and that's their only way to get them to you. So if you do turn it off, just make sure you get in the habit of probably once a week downloading any updates.
Okay, but as you state, I mean, like, theoretically, it should not affect the speed of anything else we're doing.
No, because it's supposed to say, okay, you're accessing a page, you're asking for something, so it kind of turns off. It's supposed to only use what you're not using.
Okay.
But again, theory and reality are two different things.
Okay.
So if you want to experiment with it, in the control panel, there's a Windows update section, and you'll find all the settings in there.
Okay. One other question, if you don't mind. On this, and I'm a little illiterate, but we ordered like a combination DVD and CD burner drive on this thing. Also, it came with the Windows Media Player or whatever. Can you tell me why we cannot, I mean, why we can't play a movie or a video on a DVD? I mean, it's saying something about our settings, resolution, and color, and we've gone into the display and lowered all those, but it still won't play it. Is there something that I'm missing, like Media Player does not play DVDs, or...
You said the computer came with a DVD player, at least a drive that can play DVDs?
Yes, and I mean, again, you're going to have to... you're going to have to forgive me in that. I guess I don't know the proper terminology for it, but it came with a DVD. I mean, it recognizes DVDs.
Okay, sure.
And we have the media player and everything like that, but
One thing you might want to try and do is use a different program to play DVDs.
Okay.
It probably came, you can play them usually with media player, and then sometimes a program called CyberLink or PowerDVD or something else that has to do with DVD. Look on your computer for a program.
You said it was a Dell?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Was it a Dell?
Yes.
A lot of times they'll have an option that says Personal Entertainment Launcher, or it'll have something that says Dell Entertainment or something. So look for one of those, or Dell Media Experience.
Yep, because there's going to be another program that you can use to play the DVD, and my first thing is I would try that other program.
Okay.
Because sometimes there's a little component in there that needs to get initialized, and the only way to do that is by running that program, and then Media Center will start working.
Okay.
So,
all right, the Media Center should work as long as we get something right.
Yep, it should work, but it does depend on a little tiny piece of software from that other program.
Okay.
So I would say try it in the other program. If that doesn't work, you know, follow up with us during the week and we can help you out further.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay. We've got just a little bit left in the program here. Any last news stories?
This is great.
30-second news
survey. More than half of U.S. adults play video games. Video games, they aren't just child's play anymore. New survey finds that more than half the American adults play video games. And the study finds that it isn't a passing fancy. A study by the Pew Internet and American Life Project finds 1 in 5 adults, about 20%, play just about every day. The study suggests for many adults, video games are mainstream entertainment for the generations that grew up with them, but they're also popular with adults of all ages. The Nintendo Wii is one of those that's
great. I don't play every day, but I would be included in those adults that do play video games.
Okay, well... Did you fill out the study and send it back?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to add you to the list. Bump up the numbers.
One other quick note here as we come to the end of the show is that XP has been extended.
Again.
Through the end of May 2009. So I'd be surprised if they don't extend it again. But if you like XP, you can still continue to get it for a little while.
It's hanging on just a little bit longer. They're kind of changing some of the rules, but you can still get it. That music means it's the end of another show. If you weren't able to catch us today, check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that is type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store, and we'll pop up, and you can listen to us anytime you want. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31. one.
That's right. Well, thanks again for everybody who called, and have a happy new year.